Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to this morning's call about IMI's acquisition announcement. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you all that today's call is being recorded on Thursday, the 14th of December, 2017. I shall now hand over to your speaker, Mark Selway. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today to discuss today's announcement of the pending acquisition of Bimba. I have with me Dan Shook, Massimo, and also John Dean this morning. I'll kick off with a quick page turn of the presentation which accompanied today's announcement, and then I'll open it up to questions. I'll give you a very brief moment to open up the PowerPoint that was attached to the announcement. If you can turn to slide two, this acquisition is right down the fairway for IMI. It strengthens the group's position in the United States. It increases our presence in industrial automation, and it also comes at a time that suits Precision Engineering's plans, and most importantly, their capabilities to integrate the acquisition well. For Precision Engineering's US business, it nearly doubles their exposure to the US industrial automation market. It brings a leading distributorship network, and it increases the depth of our product offering. The deal is also financially sensible, and it ticks a couple of our key acquisition metrics straight out of the box. It will be earnings enhancing in its first full year and will exceed our cost of capital within 3 years. And in the first year, we'll prepare the business for growth, but from year two, we expect to progressively deliver hard synergies of about 7% of Bimba's current revenues, while improving Bimba's margins as we go. The total consideration will be $198 million on a cash-free and a debt-free basis, and that represents an adjusted EBITDA multiple of 12.4 times. We will fund the acquisition through existing facilities, and when complete, our pro forma net debt to EBITDA would move to about 1.3 times. Slide three is an overview of Bimba. The company is an employee-owned leader in actuator and related products for the United States industrial automation market. Its headquarters are located in Chicago in Illinois. It has 500 permanent employees and operates from 9 locations, 7 in the United States, 1 in Mexico, and a sales office in the Netherlands. We're expecting Bimba's 2017 sales to be about $120 million, and they'll be derived from 3 principal product areas. Actuators represent 75% of revenue. Let me reinforce, this is not, this is a pneumatic actuator, the same as the product currently produced by our business. Controls represent 14%, with the remaining 11% coming from associated products. Bimba's largest market by far is North America, and that represents over 95% of revenue, with a small and, we think, somewhat untapped export market into Europe. Slide four of the pack describes the various attributes that IMI and Bimba bring to the new combined North American business. Bimba brings a complementary product range that has very little overlap with IMI's existing offerings. As I mentioned, actuators account for more than 75% of Bimba's sales, with pinch valves, vacuum products, and electric actuators making up the balance. And in addition to the broad range of market-leading products, they also have an excellent distributorship network and an extended customer base. On the other side of the equation, Precision's extensive global footprint provides potential to expand relationships worldwide. And our first objective on getting the keys will be to pull our sales and our marketing teams together to build our plans to capitalize on the combined business strengths. IMI is also recognized as having rapidly improving capabilities in areas that are critical to the future of Bimba. And by adopting Precision Engineering's new product procedures, applying our lean processes, and leveraging Precision Engineering's global purchasing power, Bimba will improve its operational performance and will progressively grow its margins, which with work we expect will get closer to the wider division. We intend initially to reinforce Bimba and then use it as the foundation for a consolidated North American actuator offering. Turning now to the integration slide, which summarizes our plans for the first 100 days and beyond. Our first priority is to ensure that we unify our approach to the markets and clearly identify the opportunities to leverage the combined commercial strengths of the businesses. I've already described how the Bimba operations will benefit hugely from lean, and over a period of 9 months, we'll put the basics in place and prepare the business to deliver hard synergies. And beyond the operational benefits achievable with lean, IMI corporate systems, our procedures, and our policies will improve the efficiencies of Bimba's processes. And we'll work to bring Bimba on board with all our policies and procedures in the first 12 months. And the final phase of the integration will include a blueprint for the future of the combined IMI and Bimba operations. And that plan will provide the roadmap for accelerated growth and for delivery of our synergies. So to conclude on the final slide, you can see that Bimba is an excellent addition to IMI. It boosts Precision Engineering's revenues in North America and increases our exposure to the industrial automation sector. It adds a leading range of pneumatic actuators and with products that don't overlap with our own. Bimba has an excellent customer and distributorship network, which provides good potential for cross-selling. Bimba will benefit tremendously from IMI's management processes, the application of lean, and the group's proven production skills. And the financials stack up well. Bimba will be earning enhancing out of the gate and produce a year three post-tax return of above 7%. And I think finally, the scale of Bimba is ideally suited to the current bandwidth of our North American executive team. And following the deal, the group's still left with a good level of balance sheet headroom to develop the business further. The final slides in the pack give you further financial and transaction details. And with that, that's all from me, so I'll now be happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you find your question has already been answered, you can remove yourself by pressing the hash key. Again, that's star 1 for questions. Our first question is from Alexander Virgo from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Morning, gents. Mark, I wonder if you can give us a little bit more color around the 7% number and maybe apportion that in terms of how you've arrived at the 7. And then one for Dan, I wondered if you could talk just around the tax implications. I guess it's a broader question, notwithstanding that we haven't actually achieved a definitive answer in the U.S., but a tax implications from the deal, and then any comment you can make with respect to the U.S. exposure in IMI and what that might mean would be helpful. Thank you.
So, Alex, I think in terms of the 7% synergies, look, we've obviously had an opportunity. This is a privately owned or an employee-owned business. We've been working with them now for the best part of 3 years to build the relationship to get to this point where they've agreed a sale. It wasn't through an auction. That relationship-building time has given us the opportunity to get close with their factory, see all their operations. And what we noticed as part of that is that, look, it's got a great distributorship network, terrific brands, and good actuator product portfolio, but the plants could do with some work. Now, our plan in the longer term is to consolidate our actuator offerings in the North American market. Bimba can offer a substantial foundation for that to take place. But before we get at it, Alex, we really do need to get the business as efficient as it can be. And then we can move some of our actuator offerings into their factories, and a good part of the synergies come from that work. Dan, on tax.
Yeah, on tax, Alex, anybody's guess how the next couple of months are going to play out. We did all of our numbers assuming no change. As you know, we try to naturally hedge our balance sheet, so we will put dollar debt against this acquisition. So that debt, I'm estimating when we term it out, will be around 3.5%. And so, you know, if Trump is successful to reduce the overall corporate tax rate, it's obviously a benefit. There's some other elements in Trump's plan around interest deductibility limitations. I think net-net, if you're asking around our 21 effective tax rate, I think we're probably still in the same boat going forward, with or without the change in the U.S.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, guys.
Our next question today is on the line of Mark Davis Jones from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Morning, Mark and Dan. Thanks. If you could just tidy up one oddity in the presentation, that $1.5 million of adjustments to EBITDA numbers, could you just explain what that is? I couldn't quite work out whether that was a positive or a negative adjustment, so if you can explain that. And then can you just talk to the current margin structure of the group? Obviously, this is an area where a lot of the competitors, the bigger competitors anyway, make very high margins indeed. I guess I was slightly surprised by the kind of current run rate of profitability at Bimba. You say it was employee-owned. Have they been paying themselves relatively generously, or is this principally a scale issue, do you think?
Yeah, look, good questions on both of those, Mark. In terms of its margin performance, I think, again, an employee-owned business, they don't pay themselves massively, excessively, but scale is a big issue for them. And at the end of the day, as I mentioned, we can see massive improvement opportunities through the factories that our lean processes will deliver. The $1.5 million you mentioned is a negative on their current EBITDA, and that's because in order to get the factories and the efficiencies and the improvements and the synergies that we're looking for, we're going to have to inject about $1.5 million of overhead to improve their processes, improve their maintenance performance, and then start to improve their factories and get at those synergies. So $1.5 million is negative overall. Yes, the margins can improve, and, you know, that's a big attraction for us in terms of taking this deal because, let's face it, over the course of the last 4 years, we've implemented lean across 57 factories, making tremendous progress in doing that, and this is just an addition of another eight facilities in order to get those benefits.
Great. And if I can just be a bit clearer on the timeline, you say initially there needs to be some additional investment and then the synergies start to be delivered from year two.
Yes.
In terms of the cost you're putting in up front and what we should expect for the margin profile of this business through 2018, to what extent does it get worse before it gets better?
No, look, I think 2018, you can expect that it will see some revenue growth. Our own industrial automation business in the U.S. is seeing some pretty buoyant times. So we'd factor probably 5% in terms of revenue growth in 2018. We wouldn't expect the margins will improve in 2018, but they won't get any worse. And in 2019, you'll start to see the benefits coming through. So the big question mark on 2018 impact is when do we get the keys? There are two approvals required. One is the ESOP, that's the employee ownership. I don't think that's going to be a concern. Certainly, we've got great support, and the trustee has given full support for the deal moving forward. The second one is Hart-Scott-Rodino, which is the competition authorities over in the U.S. And again, even as a combination, we're only 7% of the industrial automation market, so I'm not expecting that will be a problem. But clearly, the timing will have an impact on the revenues that we see in 2018.
Sure. Thank you very much. That's helpful.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it's star one for questions. Our next question is from Michael Blogg from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I wonder if I could just clarify one thing. Where you say access to market-leading distribution network, do they actually own the distribution, or is this just a strong relationship?
Yeah, these are very strong long-term relationships, Michael. They don't own the distributors, and, you know, we wouldn't buy into a company that's got a big distributorship, you know, as part of its core base. But what they do have is long-term relationships that stretch over many, many decades.
Okay. And where the products are going into life science, is that Is that more of the direct sale, or is that still through distribution?
Massimo, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Michael. Massimo here. We believe that for this relatively small portion of Bimba business that addressed the life science market, we will have great opportunities to leverage this broader range, merging this business with our life science vertical. And that proves, by the way, one of the advantages of our new organization, which is scalability. So our life science team would be delighted to have this additional product range to offer to our customers. So I think it's a quite, exciting opportunity for us.
And in the main, Michael, those sales are made direct
to end
customers rather than through a distribution point.
Yeah, okay. And just one other question. Where you mention hydraulic and electric products, how big a part of the whole are those, please?
Yeah, electric's relatively small. It's a new product offering that the company's got, so it's a small portion of their revenue. What it does do is giving us a new product range that's pretty well developed. It doesn't yet have scale to it, Michael, but again, we're developing our own range of products as well, and we think complementary with our new range is their new range, and you know, it's an area that we've been wanting to grow.
Okay, and pneumatic? And hydraulic?
Relatively small again. It's it's the smallest portion of their revenues. As I said, 75% is actuators, and those actuators are our standard sort of products to a large extent, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question today is from the line of David Larcombe from Numis. Please go ahead.
Just a couple ones on the numbers. In terms of the depreciation charge, looks quite high. Have you adjusted that at all, or have they been sort of reporting the accounts to reduce the tax in the U.S. as a private business?
No adjustments, David. They have been doing some IT investments, and you're seeing some of that depreciation coming through. So, but no, nothing, no changes in those numbers.
So that won't change going forward when you align your policies or anything like that?
No, I don't expect so. Look, I expect David will spend a bit of capital to grow their biggest facility, which is the one in Chicago. Once we lean it up, we'll see what size we want to build it. But I think some bricks and mortar might well go into that in the three-year plan so that we can see some consolidation opportunities.
Okay. And just employee-owned business, how deep did it go down? I mean, how are you going to incentivize these people who, you know, are going to go out and buy themselves a fast car or a new house?
Yeah, ESOP's pretty interesting. In fact, it doesn't provide people, apart from the most senior and long-serving people, with enough opportunity. But most of these funds are held in a 401k over in the U.S., which is a tax-efficient system that they can't really get access until they get to an older age. And we replace that 401k that they've got with our own 401k, which matches what we've got in the US. So look, employee retention will be important. We put a couple of million aside to make sure that the most important people in the organization, you know, remain with us. But look, all of the executive have signed up, and it was a prerequisite to doing the deal, David. So I'm happy we've got a good continuity of the executive talent that we need in that business.
Okay. And from what you're saying, it sounds as though we're going to have sort of two to three years of sorting Bimba out with Lean, and then you're going to look at your North American footprints and where the overlaps are and where you might do a phase two.
No, I think you'll see that within the first 12 months, this roadmap that we'll build, David, will be clear as to what those consolidation opportunities will look like. And they would certainly be delivered inside of that three-year tenure that I mentioned.
Okay, so it's part of that. Okay, thanks.
Our next question today is from Jonathan Hearn from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just a few questions for me. Firstly, just in terms of the mix, maybe I missed it. Is there an aftermarket portion within Bimba's sales mix? That's essentially the first question. Second one was just coming back to the numbers. Just looking at that 16 performance, obviously the margin, EBITDA margin, came down for a similar type of or a similar level of revenue relative to 15. Can you just sort of explain what was the cause of that reduction in margin, please? Thanks.
Yeah, look, the second piece of the puzzle, they put in a new Oracle computer system, and, you know, that's always painful and took a bit of overhead cost on the chin to do that. So I think if you look at the 2 years either side of that, Jonathan, gives you a better gauge of what its real operating performance is. And I think in terms of the aftermarket, and you know, I'll get Massimo to correct me if I'm wrong, it's very difficult to you know, a fair portion of what they do is replacement within the assembly systems. I was out at Ford Rouge plant the other day where they do all the metal pressing for the Ford F-150, and you see a massive amount of Bimba products right throughout that plant that move sheet metal from one press to the next. And it's that sort of equipment, and there's a regularity of replacement that needs to take place, Jonathan, in order to keep that equipment functioning, you know, at the very massive rates that they operate at.
Okay, great. And then just in terms of the last question, just coming back to the divisional margin. Obviously, if you look at your automation business, it actually does a margin ahead of the sort of divisional average. Obviously, you're guiding Bimba to go towards the divisional average. Is that the sort of the base low case kind of sort of expectation there? Do you think over time it can sort of get more on par with your automation business?
Yeah, look, there's a lot to do get it there, and certainly I think from operational improvement, the 7% of synergies, that gets you to about 16% margins once that's been delivered. But look, Massimo, once we get access to the commercial teams, and clearly during a process where you've got competition authorities looking at the two businesses, you can't connect too much. But once we do get a chance to connect, Massimo will be looking for soft synergies beyond that. We like the fact they've got a distribution network because it helps us to get our products that they don't currently have in their portfolio across their markets and some of their products across ours. So we think there's some soft synergies in addition to that, Jonathan, but we won't know the extent of that until we've got the keys and we've put our two teams together.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Our next question today is from Colin Campbell from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Morning, chaps. I just wanted to just look at the growth rate of this business. You know, in 14, 15 and 16, the sales didn't grow. Was that just a function of weak U.S. industrial automation markets, or were they losing share? You know, it seems to be 3 years of stagnating there. You could help me with that. Thank you.
No, Colin, no real loss of share. If you look at our own business, these were soft years in the industrial automation market, and really, you know, we've only seen in the second half of 2017 some acceleration, and we're expecting that to continue in 2018. So it very much mirrors the situation that we saw in the U.S. industrial automation market. Happy to say that, you know, it's looking a lot brighter at the moment.
And is the 5% growth rate you sort of suggested, that sounds a low number off 3 years of pretty weak, you know, low growth.
Last quarter of last year, it grew 5%. So the comparator gets more difficult as you go through the year. So it is a, you know, really strong growth rate if you go back to the early part of the year. But there was a 5% growth last year in the last quarter, and this is growth on growth we're talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin.
Our next question is from Glenn Liddy from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's just one question about the customers. I mean, you're quite clear that you've got complementary products and complementary access to the market, distributors versus your own direct access. How much do you know about how common the customers are between you? You flagged up you've seen lots of their product at Ford's pressing facilities. Are your customers complementary?
Yeah, Massimo, do you want to take it?
Yeah. Good morning, Glenn. Massimo. When you look at the end users, there is, I would say, partial overlapping. North American market is huge. And also in terms of distributors, we have some common distributor, but it's a limited overlapping. So to answer your question is not that much. So we don't have a lot of common end users and a lot of common distributors.
But the customers will use both sets of products in essence?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, it's star one on your phone for any questions. The next question is from Ed Maravanyinka from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Just had a question on the CapEx impact of this. You might have mentioned it and I might have missed it, but what would you be expecting to be investing into the business post-close?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ed. We've probably put about $7 million in to get the factories to a point where they can consolidate and see the growth and the synergy benefits that we've outlined. We'll verify that in the first 100 days once we've got access to manage and we've got our feet on the ground. But roughly, we'd be looking at that sort of number. And that would be that and that $1.5 million contribution in terms of overhead will get the business to a point where we can get at those 7% of revenue synergies.
Okay, so that extra CapEx would be in the one-year period?
Yeah, probably in the 1 year, maybe two, I think, by the time we execute.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you. Currently, there are no further questions waiting, sir. I'll hand the call back to yourself.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being on this call so late in the year. I'm really excited about what we can do with this business. I think it's right down the fairway for IMI. Massimo now needs to get on and, get the keys. We expect that will happen at the end of January, and then B, show us how well he can execute on what is a great business, very much aligned to the strategy of the group. Thank you very much for your time today, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the call for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.